The secret is people getting together. The secret is telling the truth. Truth is powerful and it can only be suppressed for so long, and then the truth gets out. And when the truth gets out, a power is created that is greater than the power of the guns and the money that a government possesses. And this week's opening quote comes from Howard Zinn. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. I'm actually back after having a week off the show. I had a week off the show last week and went on my first ever holiday. And far from being a holiday, it was actually a very revealing couple of weeks. And that's something that I may get into a little bit later. We'll just see how we go. But getting on with the show, you know, the truth is a very powerful thing, folks, and the truth is getting out to the masses, and that is what is causing the huge changes that we're seeing in the world today. And there really are a lot of changes in the world today. At last, there seems to be some sort of groundswell of at least semi-conscious people who are making a stand in the best way they can. Well, perhaps not the best way they can, but at least in the best way they know how. But the world does seem to be changing to some degree, folks, and the reason that it is because people are waking up to the reality of what government really is. Many of them don't particularly know what to do, but at least they are waking up to the fact that they've been played, and we are seeing a groundswell of, as I said, at least semi-conscious people. The Brexit result is a good indication of this, and also the results of the recent election in Australia. I was actually quite proud of my countrymen when I looked at the election results, folks. I mean, of course, it's not the ideal result, but it is a good sign that people are waking up to the fact that government simply doesn't have their best interests at heart, and if they're going to make it compulsory to vote, well, then we're not going to vote for any of the above. And that's kind of what we saw in the Australian election. What we saw, folks, was a massive swing of about 25% or around 25% of the people who pulled away from the major parties and decided to vote independent in the Australian election. And we ended up with a hung parliament where neither of the major parties had enough seats to form office. And they say it's going to take about a month for them to form government. And that government, when it's formed, is going to be whichever party the independents decide to throw their weight behind. And then you're going to find that the independents actually hold the balance of power in government. And the interesting thing about this situation is that all the independents that have been voted in are people who really don't like the government. So it's going to be a circus, and it's going to be really good to see what happens. The government is calling for a re-election, of course, because they're not happy with the result. And my great hope would be that if they do have a re-election, then 40% of the people will pull away from the major parties. That's the thing, folks, you know. I mean, it's compulsory to vote in Australia, and so, of course, people are scared of the fine they will receive if they don't vote. So what we saw was 25% of the population deciding to vote for anybody but someone from one of the major parties. And that was a really good sign. I mean, people can see that both sides of the coin are corrupt, and even if they don't know what to do and they don't know what sort of a government they want and they don't know who they want in office, they know that they don't want either of the major parties, and that's a great sign. I mean, of course, it's not the best result, but it does stand as a really good indication of the shifting perspective of the Australian people in regard to political affairs. People are simply saying, look, we've had enough of this, and we're not going to go along with it anymore. We want change, and we're going to implement that change in the only way we know how. So it does show a groundswell of people that are, at least as I said, folks, semi-conscious, people that are waking up to the fact that they've been played. And it does show a huge opportunity for freedom. And these opportunities for freedom keep unfolding. Of course, as we see this, we see more and more mayhem being rolled out by the government themselves in an attempt to curtail that type of awakening and curtail people's need for freedom, to make people believe that they need government the way it is and make people more and more dependent upon government. Of course, this is what terrorism is for, folks. Terrorism is there to make you believe that you need the government there to protect you, but really it's the government that is carrying out all the terrorist activity. But I think people are waking up to this, folks, and that's why we've seen such things as the hung parliament in Australia and the fantastic stand that the people have made against the government in this election result. it would be great to see something similar in England in the next election that they have there. It would be fantastic to see a hung parliament in that country. That would be a wonderful thing. But folks, there's so much theatre going on at the moment. There is so much theatre for the masses that is being injected into this reality. And there is so much of the fear campaign that is being ramped up by the government. These recent police shootings in Dallas, I mean, whether it happened or not, I mean, I have to really wonder about everything these days, folks. Most of the stuff that we see, I don't even think happens. I think it's just theatre for the masses. And this has been very, very cleverly designed to widen the barrier between the police and the people. You know, we've got a situation here where the people are waking up and they're turning to the police for support. You know, the people are seeing the corruption of government and they're making a stand against government in any way they can, you know, like what has happened with the election result in Australia. And there are actually a lot of good people in the police force, folks. There are a lot of police officers that are seeing the system for what it is as well. But of course, the police are subject to peer group pressure. Once they get in that big boys club and they all put on the same uniform, they get out there on the street and their buddies are egging them on, then, you know, anything can happen. But there are a lot of police that are really beginning to sympathize with the plight of the people. And there are many police that may even be on the verge of breaking ranks and siding with the people. And so what the government has to do is convince the police that the people are actually their enemy. And we see this police shooting in Dallas. We saw a similar thing in Germany where there was a riot in Germany. They called it a leftist riot. And it was reported that 120 police were injured and there were 86 civilian arrests. So we see even with this report, the tables are turning and the police are being portrayed as being outnumbered by the media. And so we are seeing a widening of the gap. You know, the police have to be convinced that the people are their enemy. That way they will stand and support the criminality of government that the people are standing up against. And it's very important that people see how it's being played. Of course, in the case of the shooting in Dallas, the police shooting in Dallas, this is also being used to further the race divide. You know, these movements such as Black Lives Matter should be changed to Lives Matter. It doesn't matter whether the lives are black or white or yellow or anything, folks. All lives matter. And it isn't a matter of a black man shooting white policemen or a white man shooting black policemen. It's a matter of people shooting people and what it's all being designed to do. And the shooting in Dallas, folks, if it really did happen, these were incredibly accurate sniper shots, and this would indicate that it wasn't just some random sniper with a gun with a scope. This was someone who was very well trained in what they were doing. And the result and everything about it would indicate that it was simply another government-staged false flag attack. That's what they do, folks. You know, I put out a show a few weeks ago where I went through a list of around 50 or 60 admitted false flag attacks. These are things that the government has openly admitted to, and yet people still wonder why these attacks are happening, and they don't question when they're told who is carrying out these attacks by the media. I mean, if they've staged all of these attacks that they have staged in the past, and all of these attacks have been major attacks, folks, that have all been used to shape the world into what it is today. Well, when you see this, then why would anyone think for a moment that any of the terror attacks that we're seeing in the world today are not being staged by government the way they always have been? And that's the thing, folks. Most of the terrorist events that we see are staged by government. Even when you look at the reports of terror attacks, around about 2% of terror attacks that are carried out in the world can actually be attributed to Muslims. So what is all this vilification of Muslims that we're seeing and all this Islamophobia that we're seeing whipped up around these attacks? It's completely ridiculous, folks, and the world is being played. But I think the world is waking up to that fact. I mean, even though the media is still whitewashing over all this and a great majority of people are in fear of this terrible menace that the media tells them is real, there are still a great many other people who can see through the facade and see that they're being played and have simply had enough and are making a stand in the best way that they can. But there are so many forces in play at the moment, folks, and there's so much deception in the world today. There's a lot of deception in the alternate media as well. A lot of the alternate media, I believe, seems to be quite controlled. There's a lot of people who simply aren't addressing the real issues. There's a lot of people who seem to have their own agendas. I mean, of course, everyone wants to have their own business and wants things to run smoothly for them, and everybody has to make a living in the world. But still, I believe there is a lot of deception and there's a lot of infiltration in the independent media. And certainly my life experiences of late have caused me to believe that such is the case anyway. I've been very disillusioned by many of my experiences in the independent media and many of the contacts that I've made. I mean, I still do know a lot of good people in the independent media, and I do have some very valuable friendships in amongst the activist community, but I've still been very disillusioned by many other individuals within the independent media and within the activist community. And I've seen a great deal of deception, and I've seen how the infiltration has occurred. I've also noticed recently how the mainstream media is in turn using the independent media and certain personalities within the independent community to kind of set the independent community up. There's been a lot of plays that have gone into motion in the last couple of years to undermine the credibility of the independent media. And I think we're going to see a lot of this come to head as well, possibly by the end of the year. I think we're going to see the mainstream media acknowledging the independent media a lot more, but doing it in quite a negative way and associating the independent media with a lot of black ops and a lot of disinformation and using it to demonstrate how easily people can be led and fooled and why it is necessary to bring in strict censorship rules on the internet and why it is necessary to control the flow of information on the internet. I think there's a lot of plays that have been put into motion that are leading towards this, and I may elucidate a little bit on that a little bit further towards the end of the show, but I think things are definitely in motion, folks, and I think there are definitely a lot of black ops in motion that are going to be used very soon to stifle the flow of information on the internet if we are not very careful about how we address things and how we view things and how we go about presenting information to other people. You know, there are so many divisionist plays happening at the moment, folks. There really is, and there's so much being done to undermine people's research and to undermine people's faith and their belief in what they're hearing from the independent media. And there's a lot going on to undermine people's faith in what action can be taken by the independent media and by the people themselves in addressing the problems that we face. And I think people need to be very, very careful of who and what they are putting their faith and trust in. I mean, there's been so many scams we've seen run recently. Look at the Keshe Foundation and the free energy devices that were supposed to be given out to the world. I mean, these things just happen all the time, folks. There are all sorts of ideas and plans that are presented to the people. And these plans and ideas are presented from every single angle you can think of, folks. And people get involved in these concepts and then they kind of sit back and wait for the world to change. And they fail to realize that what is needed is action on the ground in their own community, and it's they themselves that need to get involved. There's no organization or device they can send off to have delivered to their home in mail order or anything, or any type of movement or anything that they can join that's going to make a difference if it doesn't entail action on the ground in every local community on this earth. You know, what is needed is for people to discover their own selves again, to discover the power that they have. And we don't need any violence or anything like that. We just need people to rediscover themselves and stand in their humanity and call things for what they are. I mean, there's a lot of people doing it now. There really are, and it's good to see. But really, that is the solution. The solution lies in personal empowerment. Now, there's been so many rabbit holes and distractions that have come from the independent media over the years. You know, watching this sort of unfold from the front line, as it were, since I started doing these radio shows back in 2008, I've seen a lot of distractions. I've seen a lot of interesting information, but ultimately it's been a lot of rabbit holes that have kind of led nowhere. mean, all of it has been informative. All of it has helped provide an awareness and an understanding that many people have needed. But many people have looked for remedy in the rabbit holes, and there is no remedy in the rabbit holes. The rabbit holes can provide information, but they can't provide remedy. The remedy has to come from the people when the people change their perspective of what's going on here and what their reaction to this situation should be. Now, that's really where the remedy is going to come from. Look at the free man movement, folks. And I'd like to say, like, right here openly and make it apparent to everybody and make it very, very clear for the record that I in no way support the free man movement. I think the free man movement has been interesting and it's been informative in as much as it's exposed how the legal fiction works. It's exposed how the birth certificate works, and it's given people a lot of knowledge on how the legal system is constructed. But there's no remedy to be found by operating within the parameters of what the so-called free man movement provides for you. This is simply not a way out of this situation. And too many people have gotten themselves in trouble by using these sorts of methodologies. And the whole concept of lose the name, win the game, and the concept that it's illegal to use a legal name, I mean, this sentence actually cancels itself out by its own wording, by referring to something that's legal as being illegal. And all of these things are rabbit holes and places that people look for remedy because they believe the remedy lies outside themselves and outside their own heart, when the real remedy is only going to come when people change what's in their heart and change their perspective and change the way they look at themselves and the people around them. It's only when they do that that they're going to learn how to interact with the system in the right way. And really the right way to interact with the system is to realize that what you're dealing with is people. And if we are reasonable about this, I think we're going to get somewhere. And sure, you may be dealing with psychopaths who are unreasonable in themselves, but if you are reasonable in your approach to how you share information with people and don't send them down rabbit holes, but simply help them discover the reality of themselves, then you're going to find that you have a supportive community around you who can deal with the politicians within the system, many of whom also know that this entire fictional system is completely dysfunctional and it's destroying the world and we need to do something about it, but they don't know what to do either. And very often they don't know what to do because they are approached by the people in the wrong way. They're approached in a confrontational way rather than in an eloquent and questioning way. I mean, you can do this, folks, and you can approach politicians in an eloquent and questioning way, still in a way that is firm, that is demanding answers simply by your demeanor, but not in a way that is blatantly rude or confrontational, because it is absolutely counterproductive to do that sort of thing. You know, we can find a way out of this, folks, if we are human about it and if we apply our humanity to the politicians and the police who work within the system as well. You know, if we're going to approach these people aggressively, then we should not be surprised when we get an aggressive response. And look, by saying this, folks, of course, I'm not suggesting that you would approach the Prime Minister of England, whoever that may be, whether it's going to be Theresa May or even when it was David Cameron or Malcolm Turnbull from Australia. I mean, I'm not expecting you to get any type of response from these people or indeed from any of the members of the Senate or the higher level members of the Cabinet. What I'm suggesting is that you approach your lower level politicians in this manner and work your way up the food chain and find out where the wall is, because it's when you hit that wall that prevents you from dealing with the corruption that you're attempting to deal with. That's when you know you are facing one of the criminals that are actually holding the system together and one of the people who are working to oppress the people who employ them. That's the thing, folks. You can't lump everybody into the same basket. It's the same when dealing with the police. I mean, a lot of these people are respectable guys who actually joined the force to make a difference. There's a lot of police who can sympathize with the plight of the people. There's a lot who can see that the government is pretty well out of control, and that's why you can't lump all of the police into the same basket. Unfortunately now, and as many people know, what the government has done, it has lowered the induction IQ of the police force. So we've got people who really aren't that smart, and who once they get in there and they get part of that big boys club, they kind of get a little bit out of control. And then you have these guys walking around in body armor, and they've all got electromagnetic devices hanging off them, and God knows what frequencies they're having pumped into them. And God knows how many of these people are even microchipped, because it's very easy for the government to microchip these people simply by giving them vaccinations. This is how it's done in the military. You'll find that virtually everybody who's been in the US military, for example, has been microchipped. And this is quite well known. And they give them very many exotic and experimental drugs while they are in the military. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did the same sort of thing to the police. I mean, if they don't give them experimental drugs, then you can be certain that they make sure they are very, very up on their vaccinations. And there are all sorts of things that can be put into vaccinations. Vaccinations are a great delivery system for whatever you want to put into a certain group of people. But these sorts of things do make it somewhat more difficult to reach the police quite often. But again, there are still many that can be approached, and many more who are quite approachable as well. And that is why we are seeing so many of these divisive plays being brought into the fray now, folks. That's why all of these attacks against the police are being staged. And especially some of the reports that have been surfacing on the internet about the protests in France, how the police are getting exhausted from the amount of people protesting. Very interesting reports, folks, especially since I have friends who are in France, whom I met in Spain just last week, who had driven through Paris the week before and had said that it was all quiet in Paris and there were no protests on the street and that there was no exhausted police everywhere. So I'm wondering where these reports are coming from as well. Don't believe everything that you hear on the internet, folks. I think there is a real play to just show how much disinformation can be spread to people and just how easily people will buy into just about anything that they're fed. I think that is what a lot of these black ops have been about. And I think there are certain individuals within the independent media who are part of this, whether they know it or not. I think that many people are being played and are, in fact, pawns in the game. And I think in many cases, this is happening unbeknownst to the individuals themselves. As I've often said, ladies and gentlemen, the road to knowledge, the path to knowledge, is a dangerous road that is fraught with pitfalls all along the way. There are so many rabbit holes that are put there to distract people, and there are so many belief systems that are put there for people to adopt along the way, and you must always be careful what you believe. You should consider all things, but believe nothing, because you really never know where the information is coming from. Very often, information that you're presented with comes from unreliable sources. Very often, it's just people's interpretation of books that they've read and what sort of a slant they're able to put on it. And the books that they've read are very often the same thing, simply people's interpretation of other books. And so it goes down the line, and who knows where the knowledge came from to begin with. And frankly, a lot of what is presented by very astute personages within the independent media is outright fabrication. And I really don't like naming names of people, and so I'm not going to do so. But I think it's up to the individual out there to be very discerning and to clearly realize that no one is coming to save anybody, and that there is no special knowledge that you can get or special movement that you can join that's going to lead you to safety. What is needed is for people to get involved on the ground in their own community. I really cannot stress this enough, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we've got a system here, and we need some sort of a system because we have societies. So we can't pull the whole thing down, and we don't want that. What we want is accountability. What we want is an end to all this war and all this corporate destruction. Like in Australia, we've even had one of the Labor ministers themselves stand up and say, or one of the Labor MPs anyway, stand up and say that there are 10 companies that basically control all of Australian politics. And that's just the way it is. And this is not acceptable, folks. And if we call it, we can change it. But it's up to us to call it. It's up to us to see that there's a problem and to stand up and address the problem as one united community, because that's the only way we're going to be able to do so. Now, we've got to deal with all of these sorts of situations, folks, the corporate control of our governments, the tax system that is milking people dry. We've got to have some sort of honest and fair monetary system that's going to help the people and not hinder their progress through life. And we've got to stop all of these wars. But that's only going to come from an empowered and responsive community. And we've got to do it in a peaceful way. And we can do it in a peaceful way simply via the strength of numbers. This is something that I've been saying on air since day one, something that I said in my very first film, and something that I simply cannot stress enough, that once we have an awake and aware community, the strength of numbers can accomplish anything we want by very peaceful means, simply by changing the perspective of the people, you know, changing what is in our hearts and changing the way we approach this system, changing the way we interact with each other, you know, changing what we believe we can and cannot do. We are a very, very powerful species. In fact, every problem that we've got was created by mankind, and that is us. And we have the ability to take this world in any direction we want to take it in as soon as we choose to get involved. You know, our problem is that we join an organization and have someone else get involved on our behalf, when really we have to do it ourselves. That's always been the problem. And that has always been the solution as well. And as soon as we do that, we're going to find some very real change happening on this earth. You know, I've always believed that the solution to all of our problems lies right in our fingertips, folks. It lays in the palm of our hand if we could only see it there, if we could only see the potential that we have, and if we could only see what the power of a united community could do, then we could change the world in a day. And that's what I think this time is. I think it is the time that mankind truly woke up to their potential. And even though the waves are small and the awakening is even just sort of semi-consciousness for a lot of people at the moment, we are seeing a big awakening happening, and we are seeing a shift in the way people are looking at the system, and that is a very good sign. But I think we've reached break time, folks, so I have to leave it here for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for sticking around, and thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, look, there are a significant amount of black ops being run, I think, at the moment. There are a significant amount of rabbit holes that people are being led down, and there is always a undertone of fear and an undertone of misdirection in most of these rabbit holes and most of the things that I'm seeing on the internet at the moment. I'm really beginning to learn just how little so many of the sources that we see around the world can be trusted, and so many of the directions that we're being led are in fact misdirection that are designed specifically to prevent us from ever achieving any real gains. I mean, we've always known this. We've always known there are going to be lots of controlled opposition, and there's going to be lots of organizations that are formed to keep people locked into a bubble and keep people away from the real problem. But it really has become quite ridiculous, the extent that it's been happening. And we've seen all sorts of, I suppose you could call it, crosstalk between organizations as well, whereby if you are someone who disagrees with Brexit, you disagree with the Brexit decision, but you're involved in something like the anti-fracking movement, then those in the anti-fracking movement who are pro-Brexit and those who are anti-Brexit are at loggerheads with each other, and so the anti-fracking movement has been divided by this type of political mindset being superimposed over the movement. See, all of these things are divisionist mechanisms. If you're someone who looks into the Holocaust, then you're outlawed by many movements, and this creates divisions. We can't be seen to be associated with someone who investigates such things. And that's the way it's been. If you're someone who is investigating research which may be seen as controversial or something to be seen as holding a different political viewpoint to the general consensus of those who are running the organization you're involved with, then you are likely to be ostracized by the organization. And regardless of how much good you've done, you are going to be vilified and separated from any further action. And really, the only thing that suffers in this is the activism that you were involved in to begin with. So, I mean, people should be allowed to research and investigate anything they want and speak out about any truth they have and still be allowed to be involved in whatever activist movement they're involved in. But I've seen all sorts of things like this happening on the ground in England and through Europe. There's all sorts of people that are being ostracized by others simply because they have a different political viewpoint, when really their focus has been a common goal in another area. And people are allowing their political viewpoints and their personal research to take control of their emotions. Unfortunately, it's creating a great deal of division in many areas in the independent media and in the activist community as well. And there's a lot of people in the activist community that are also waiting to be led to safety by other people. And this, of course, is not going to happen. The only way we are ever going to reach a point of safety is when people choose to get involved themselves. So it's been quite an educational trip, my little holiday that wasn't a holiday at all. It ended up being a total information download. But I guess that's just the way my life goes, folks. It's really difficult for me to have time off, even when I really need some time off and try to have some time off. Things just seem to happen which lead me to areas that I wasn't expecting to go in, but very often areas that are highly beneficial. It was really a massive amount of information download while I was away, and I've got a lot of processing to do back in Peru when I arrive there, which should be the day after tomorrow. And I'll be doing the next show from Peru, folks, so you'll be getting the sounds of the jungle again when you hear me on air next week. And I am sorry for having the week off last week, but no, I just couldn't do it. I was traveling and I tried to get a show pre-recorded, but I just wasn't able to because of the circumstances. But I did catch up with a lot of people and I did get a lot of very good information, and I did have a lot of things cleared up via discussions that I had with people. It was actually a very synchronistic and very fruitful holiday. It was pretty exhausting, but it was fruitful nonetheless. I managed to catch up with Zen Gardner while I was away, and Ulay Demigard, and Ian Crane, and a few other people for some roundtable discussions, and it was a very informative and very constructive few days. But folks, as I was alluding to before, there are so many black ops that are in play at the moment, and it's really important that people pay attention to what they're getting involved in. And there's so many things happening now that we can't explain, and there's so many things that are being put out there simply to confuse us. You know, I believe that the whole Flat Earth movement and the Mandela effect and all of this sort of stuff is simply put out there to confuse people and distract people and lead them down rabbit holes and allow the prison that is being so fast rolled out to be constructed. And people are making a stand in the way that they can, such as the election result we've seen in Australia and such as Brexit. But even looking at Brexit, folks, I mean, this is extremely well planned. The EU was designed to fall apart exactly the way it has. And what has happened, you know, the EU was constructed and all of these open borders were created. Then all this so-called refugee crisis, which is really a mass infiltration, has occurred, allowed all of this stringent control to come in place, and then England's pulled out and the whole EU is a complete mess and it's due to fall apart. Only the borders and the restrictions are going to be far, far tighter and the area is going to be far more balkanized than it ever was before. And Europe is going to be far more divided from the onset of the EU, and that is exactly what the EU was constructed to do. It was designed to lock each state down and divide each state further from each other. And it was done under the pretense of unity because that's the only way it could ever have been pulled off. But it's been a very, very cleverly constructed mechanism, folks, and it's all been designed to do exactly what it's done. In fact, there's a video clip which I will put on the Crow House, and I'll leave it there as the featured clip for the week, which is a clip from a British comedy show called Yes Minister that was aired back in 1980, and it actually talks about England entering the EU in order to pull the EU down. It's presented as British comedy, but it's actually very informative, and it accurately predicts England's entry and ultimate withdrawal from the EU and why England entered the EU in the first place. So I'll put that on the website and I suggest you look at that. It's actually a very good clip, and as I said, it's very informative and presented to the world as comedy. But yeah, folks, as I said, there are indeed a significant amount of black ops being run at the moment, and mentioning the Flat Earth movement and the Mandela effect and the Free Man movement and all these sorts of things, you'll notice that people who are pushing all of these three different things are also presenting you with a lot of truth in a lot of other areas. And so a lot of genuine truth is being associated with these three things. And this is causing not only a massive amount of division, but it's also serving to discredit a lot of very, very genuine information. And look, folks, there's nothing wrong with researching the Flat Earth, and there's nothing wrong with researching the Mandela Effect. There's nothing wrong with looking into the Free Man Movement just to get an understanding of how the legal system works. But when you start making it your main focus and becoming militant about it and associating all other research that you find with these three things, then it becomes quite dangerous because it lumps everything into the one basket. And that's what we're seeing, folks. We're finding that people who promote the Free Man Movement and who promote the Flat Earth are also spreading lots of real truth in with their research. And this is being picked up by mainstream media. There was recently an article that was on the ABC in Australia that was referring to the Free Man Movement, and it focused on one particular individual in Australia and used them as an example of how much this Free Man Movement didn't work and what sort of damage it was doing to the minds of people and all sorts of stuff. And when you look into this individual, you find this individual is also a flat earther. But not only that, they are promoting an enormous amount of genuine truth. In fact, posting as much as they possibly can of real, genuine truth, but associating with all sorts of areas which are controversial, to say the least, and causing a great deal of backlash against real research and a great deal of backlash against the independent media. And you're going to find that all of these things are going to start coming to a head soon, folks. There's also one individual that is doing this while wearing a Crow House t-shirt. And I've asked this individual to stop portraying pictures of themselves with a Crow House t-shirt on quite extensively, but they have not done so. And now this individual is also being portrayed in the mainstream media as someone who promotes the Free Man Movement and all this sort of stuff. So, of course, this will in turn be associated with the Crow House simply because of this individual's refusal to stop portraying Crow House images on his website and on his Facebook page. So you can see how all this is being contrived, folks. You can see how things are being set up and how certain things are being put into place and certain things have been put into motion within a lot of aspects of the independent media that I believe have been designed to discredit the independent media and basically show it up as something that is disreputable and disinformative and will stand as evidence that the government will use as to why they need to restrict the internet and restrict the flow of information, restrict who can run fundraisers and all sorts of this sort of stuff. I think that there is a much larger play going on here, and I think that many people are failing to see it. I think too many people are expecting to be led to safety, and not enough people are paying attention to what is happening on the ground around them. And too many people are sort of expecting some messiah to come along out of the truth movement that is going to do something miraculous that is suddenly going to save the day. But it's not going to happen, folks. We've got to get involved ourselves, and we've got to be very careful of what we're getting involved with. And the way we have to get involved, I believe anyway, the suggestion that I would offer is for people to get involved in their local community by spreading awareness and asking the right questions and starting at the ground level with their politicians and working their way up the food chain, as I said, to find where they hit a brick wall, because that is where you're going to start finding where the levels of corruption begin And that is where you can start beginning to take steps to address the corruption that lies behind those walls. And if you've been polite and eloquent and truthful and empowered in your actions all the way up, you're going to find a lot of lower level politicians and lower level police that are going to be standing with you when you do come up against these walls. Some will probably go into fear and not want to go any further, but some may indeed want to continue to pursue the matter. And if you've been a good and kind and eloquent person and been empowered and demonstrated yourself to the community around you at large and led by example in what you do, then you're going to find that you've got a lot of the community that's standing with you at that point, and you might actually make some difference. And if everybody does this in their own communities all around the world, I think we're going to see some real change, folks. But it's got to come from people empowering themselves and wanting to get involved and getting other people involved and leading by example in what they do. I really think that is the way forward, and that's the best approach that I can come up with anyway at this time. Of course, I'm always open to suggestion, folks, so if you have a better idea, I'm all ears, but I really don't think that anything apart from involvement by the community is really going to make any type of lasting difference. You know, and I think we are at a really important time. And I know I've said this many, many times on the show, but I do think that we are at an extremely important time in human development at this particular moment in history. I think there's so much in play at the moment to keep us in a state of slumber and to keep us fighting and squabbling amongst each other. That's what many of these black ops are all about. It's to keep us fighting and squabbling rather than addressing the situation around us and realizing that we don't need information to come from anybody else. What we need is freedom so we can find out what's going on. And we're not going to find anything out until we have that freedom, and all the squabbling does and all the arguing about different points of view that we have does is prevent us from ever really addressing the situation that has brought us to this point. You know, it's gotten beyond ridiculous, folks. I mean, the government is admitting now that geoengineering is being carried out. They're saying, oh, we're only doing it on a small scale. But, of course, that's ridiculous. They're doing it on a large scale. They've admitted that vaccines cause autism. There's been so much reporting of this, and yet we still see governments carrying out these mandatory vaccinations. We've seen GMO food banned in so many countries now, and yet we see Western governments still pushing this sort of stuff on the people. We see all sorts of reports about the damaging effects of Wi-Fi, and yet we still see it being rolled out everywhere, even though it's banned in some countries in Europe. I think Sweden or Switzerland or someone, I always get those two countries mixed up, and I'm sorry for the Swedes and the Swiss, but that's just the way it is with me. I'm from Australia and I can't help it. But somewhere up there, they have banned Wi-Fi in schools because they know it's damaging. You know, the toxins in the food, the toxins in the water, the fluoride, all the things that we know about now, folks, there's no question that these things are poisonous and these things are damaging. The banning of hemp, we know that this really does constitute a crime against humanity. It's a plant that's killed nobody, that was banned under false pretenses. And no matter what we do to try to have it decriminalized, there's all sorts of barriers and legislation we come up against. And really, all of this is about supporting the corporate and economic model. It's not about supporting the health of the people or doing anything that is right or good or proper or just for the people. It's about supporting industry. And that's why hemp is banned. And the industries that are supported by continuing to keep this plan outlawed are very, very destructive industries, but they are very profitable industries. But we know all of this now. We know that there is a problem, and we know that we need to have these problems rectified. Yet all we do to attempt to rectify them is petition our politicians or vote people in and vote people out. You know, even with the Australian election, I mean, it's good that they voted independent, but it would have been better if nobody had voted at all. It would have been better if people had simply said, there are no candidates and therefore I cannot vote. That would have been the ideal result. If people had said, you know, give us a suitable candidate before we'll vote for anybody, because there simply are no suitable candidates. Like I said, it's good that they did go independent, and it's good that we ended up with a hung parliament, and it is a small step in the right direction and it should be seen that way, but it is certainly not an ideal result. I mean, the people that were voted in, the independents that were voted in, are certainly not the ideal candidates to have running around in Parliament House. But again, they are at least not members of the main political parties, and that is a good start. But we have to take it a little further. And that's really not going to come until we wake up to ourselves, I don't think. But hopefully that's what's happening. You know, the world really is in a terrible state, ladies and gentlemen, and it's happening everywhere. You know, a couple of months ago or a month ago when I was in Peru and we had that land invasion happen around us, it really brought it home to me how quickly things can go sour on the ground in whatever community that you happen to live in. It doesn't matter whether you're in the first world or the third world. It doesn't matter whether you're in a city. It doesn't matter whether you are in the country, really. If you've got people around you, or even if you haven't got people around you, when push comes to shove, things really can get ugly very quickly. And unless we can develop some sort of rapport with each other and some sort of unified, coordinated stand against this system together, then we're simply marching to our own demise. We really are, you know. All of the protests that we have, we don't need to have protests. We don't need to have march. We need to have non-compliance. As I said, I want to try to organise a strike for April the 15th next year. I believe there's one in November as well. But we need more than that. I mean, that's just one thing, one show of solidarity. But we need a massive show of non-compliance to this system. We need a massive stand against war, a massive stand against the corporate control that we see that is infiltrated into all of our governments. We need for the people to make this stand, because that is the only place that it's going to make a difference. It's only going to make a difference if it comes from the people, because it's us who hold the system up. It always has been. And with all the rules and the laws and everything the politicians put in place, now we fight and we scrabble and we scream and we protest and we stand steadfast against it. Well, why don't we just stay home? Why don't we just not participate anymore? Why don't we just get the supplies that we need and get the things that we need to keep our families safe and happy for the next few days and just stay home and stop complying with the system, stop spending money, stop buying fuel, stop using public transport, stop flying on airlines, just stop participating in the system in every single way that we can, and just stay home and go to sleep and hang out with our families for a few days. Let's all do that and just see what happens. You know, if we did that, the whole system would crumble, folks. If we didn't spend money for a day, the banks and Wall Street and the whole banking system, it'd crash and tumble, it'd burn. We wouldn't know what to do if we stopped spending money, if we stopped using our credit cards, if we stopped using iPhones and all this smart technology and all this rubbish that they give us. Got to stop doing all of this stuff, folks. Stop complying with all this stuff. Boycott everything. And that's what we need to do, a massive boycott of everything that contributes to this system, that contributes to the slavery system, and that causes harm, injury, or death. And just boycott the money system. Just for a day or a couple of days, it would make such an incredible difference if we did that. And I'd love to see people get involved and start pushing that sort of protest. You know, the sort of protest that you can do without leaving the house. The sort of protest that you don't have to put yourself in harm's way for. The sort of protest you don't have to go out on the street and march and scream and squabble and get hurt by the police and end up in jail and all this sort of stuff. The sort of protest that you can make simply by staying at home and putting yourself in a state of love and relaxation and hanging out with your family and experiencing what it's like to be a real human being. I mean, that is the best type of protest you could ever stage against this system. And if you want real activism, then get out and grow a garden. Because growing a garden and supplying yourself with food is one of the most damaging things to this corporate model. It's one of the most damaging things you can do. It's something that the government really doesn't want anybody to do. Because when you can grow your own food, then you become far less dependent upon the system than the average person. Now, most of the money that we spend goes on food, folks. It really does. You know, food and fuel and stuff that we need to make the money that we need to buy food. That's what we do. That's what we need to survive is food. We don't need anything else. We need food and water and air and a shelter. That's all we need. And if we can take up the supply of food ourselves and not have to spend any money on that, then that frees us to an enormous extent from the clutches of this system. And that's why they're going to such incredible steps to prevent people from doing those sorts of things. That's why they like to pack people into cities. So there are all sorts of things that we can do which serve to make a very good stand against this system. There's all sorts of ways that we can get involved, folks. And I don't know, but if I was going to give any real advice to anyone, I would suggest that people get out of the cities. You know, I don't think cities are a safe place to be. I think that the cities are going to be the first places to go down, especially in the Western world. And I think that these cities in the modern world are very, very easy to contain. I think that they've been designed that way with the road system. I think what we've seen with the loop road system that's been put around most European cities is effectively a very, very good lockdown system. Most of the old roads have been removed. Most of the old ways in and out of these major metropolises have been removed. Now you've got big circular loop roads going around the cities, and these things are very, very easy to lock down, and they make the cities very easy to contain. So I think these places are not the place to be. So I would really suggest people start looking at alternative places to be and alternative places to live and ways they can start creating a good food supply for themselves. I think in the future they're going to be very glad they did. But folks, I guess the gist of what I've been attempting to say on this show is to just be wary of where you're being led and be wary of what rabbit holes you're being led down, and be wary of how the independent media and the so-called truth movement is being controlled and where it's being led. Look at what truth really is and what is truth. And truth is a perspective that people have. And truth is subjective and it's open to change depending on the information that people have. I mean, sure, real truth is real truth, but who knows what that real truth is? You know, until we have the freedom to discover it, then you'd be very careful of claiming anything as being absolute fact, because I think there is some very, very devious plays going on at the moment, and I think that we're going to see all of this come to a head. And I think a lot of people who are doing the right thing are being used as pawns in this battle to discredit the independent media. And I think it's been a very, very well-constructed plan. And I think there are all sorts of plans that are being put into place. And I think there are lots of plans that are coming to fruition about now. And I think a lot of people are going to find that they've been led astray by some of the people that they trusted the most. And it's unfortunate to suggest that may be a reality, but what I've experienced in my life and some of the things that have been brought to my attention and some of the experiences that I've had have just led me to believe that we are heading for a little bit of an awakening, I think, folks. I think the veil is going to fall down on a lot of people who've been perhaps not doing exactly the right thing and people who are perhaps not what they present themselves as being. So it will be interesting to see how things play out in the next 12 months or so. But look, I think we are at the end of the show here, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you to anybody who has ever offered any support to the Crow House. Thank you to all the people who send me kind emails and kind words. As I said, I'm sorry I was off air last week, but I really did have a lot of stuff to get done. I did try to have a holiday, but it didn't work out that way, and it worked out in me getting a lot of stuff done, so that was really a good thing anyway. But I will be back on the air regularly once I'm back in Peru, which will, as I said, be the day after tomorrow, and I'll be back on the air regularly until I take off again for Australia in October. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. So please do take very good care. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, in Lakesh, my friends, in Lakesh.